The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Catherine Shaw, and before we hear the show, we just wanted to point you in the direction of our sponsor, Squarespace. For more information on building your own beautiful websites, go to squarespace.com. Now on with the show. Hello and welcome to The Dailies, The Guardian's daily-ish podcast of movie news and reviews. I'm Catherine Short and today I'm joined by Henry Barnes. Henry, if you could create a hashtag to describe your morning so far, and you can, what would it be?
Hashtag coffee too much.
How much have you had?
I've had three now.
Really?
Been up since six and had three coffees. That's too much coffees.
Have you had three coffees or
three coffees? Coffees. Imagine if I could have a free one. Maybe you'll get me one after this and that will be a free one for my fourth.
Well, overnight news came through that Jamie Foxx has coined two new hashtags about the hashtag Oscars So White controversy. Okay, brace yourself for some burn.
I'm ready.
For they are hashtag What's the Big Deal and hashtag Act Better. That one aimed at disgruntled black actors who failed to score a nomination this year. In particular, it seems Will Smith, whose Nigerian accent and concussion Fox poked fun at. Fox also said that he and fellow black Oscar winner Denzel Washington had compared notes on the controversy and come to the conclusion that it's not about anything but the art, or it shouldn't be anyway. Henry, it's nice to have another take on all this, but what's Fox doing here? I mean, after I remember at the Golden Globes, it was he who called out Tarantino on his use of the word ghetto. Is he just playing to the crowd?
I think he's being a very naughty boy. He might be playing to the crowd, yeah. I'm not sure if... Is there any beef between Will Smith and Jamie Foxx historically? Because there's a video of them at the SAG Awards in 2014. And the host there very awkwardly kind of says, I heard there's a thing between you two. You guys should have an act-off here. So it feels like there might be something going on
beef.
There. Maybe, I don't know.
Beef and burn.
Beef and burn.
That would be a nice restaurant. Except not burn.
Yeah. Yeah. Well done. It's a well done argument. I don't know. I think, yeah, Fox does have a bit of a point, and it's you're right, it's nice to hear a counter view, isn't it?
Is it? I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because it's a bit of a taboo thing to say those performances just weren't good enough, because it sounds like you're saying, or it could sound like you're saying, black people's performances aren't good enough. Do you think that that's been sort of overread or misinterpreted?
It might be. I think that if somebody's going to say it, then Jamie Foxx is the person to say it, right? A high-profile black actor who's been Oscar-nominated and won an Oscar. Yeah, yeah. So he's the guy who is, quote, allowed to say it, I guess. I mean, it still doesn't change the fact that there is a fundamental problem with the industry in terms of black people getting an opportunity to be in the position where they could be even considered for an Oscar. And I don't think his hashtags, however pithy, really help that problem. So he's being a bit ungracious there. But he does have a point, and I imagine he's the person who could put that point across.
Do you think he was the first choice to play Ray Charles? Was Billy Crystal in the mix? Was it going to be another inappropriate white actor?
I would love to have seen that film. Probably enjoyed it more than Ray.
Now, everybody knows that Deadpool is dominating the global box office. But what some people might not know is that Stephen Chow's raucous Chinese comedy The Mermaid is making a splash in its second place. The film has netted a considerable haul in China itself, where it's the biggest ever movie, and has also made waves in the US and the UK, where it hooked a £6,300 site average. Far from me to sense a trend, but there's now two Little Mermaid movies in the swim. A Richard Curtis scripted working title live action number with Chloe Grace Moretz, and another live action production, this time from MVP Studios, which is a new company founded by the grandson of the former New York Yankees owner. In their film, a young orphan, I'm quoting here, a young orphan discovers a beautiful and enchanting creature she believes to be the real Little Mermaid. Shirley MacLaine will play Eloise, an eccentric woman who has intimate knowledge of the story. I have to say, I quite fancy both those films, but Henry, is there something fishy about this new Clash of the Mermaids?
Are we just going to breeze over that link? I thought you were all at sea for a minute there, but you reeled it back in.
I've been trawling the depths.
What's the question?
I think this thing about MacLaine playing an eccentric old woman who has intimate
knowledge.
I think that sounds great.
She loves sushi. Is she playing the mermaid?
No, she's playing an old woman who's got intimate knowledge.
In the Disney film, there's the ogre-ish kind of anti-genie character, isn't there? Is she playing that? She'd be quite good at that, I think.
I don't remember.
I forget her name.
Is it Eloise?
It might be Eloise. Yeah.
I don't know. I used to know quite a lot about The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things, isn't it, where they're doing two or three live-action versions of the same story all at the same time.
Like Jungle Book.
Like Jungle Book, or was it Red Riding Hood they did a few years ago, where they suddenly got a passion for fairy stories all over again. I'm always deeply suspicious of that, because it just screams of people kind of overhearing someone in a posh restaurant talking about what their studio's doing and saying, we better hurry up and get our own version. I'm not sure if they're going to be any good. But they do sound interesting with the casting. I think Chloe Grace Moretz might make a good mermaid, because she was in the one that Sofia Coppola was going to direct.
That's the same one.
Same one,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, same one.
I'm confused, you see.
Yeah.
But is that the Richard Curtis one?
Yeah, that's the same one. But she's not directing it anymore.
Oh, right. Who would you get to direct it?
Ava DuVernay.
Hey. She's everywhere.
She's everywhere.
Even in the sea.
And finally, as we stagger towards Sunday's Oscars, new research has found that The Revenant is the film, out of all the Best Picture nominees, that's got most tongues wagging on Twitter. If I just consult my notes, I can see that the combined social media activity of The Revenant is more than double that of the next one, which is Room. And down at the bottom seems to be Mad Max, but only in the period of voting for the Oscars that they're tracking this. Henry, are you surprised by this?
I'm looking at the chart that you're showing me now.
Yeah.
The Revenant is way out in front.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by it. Ben was saying yesterday what an amazing job the team behind The Revenant have done of marketing this film, and the story behind it, and the fact that Leo's finally going to win his Oscar, and the fact that he ate bison liver.
Did he?
He did eat bison liver. I don't know, did you hear?
Horse.
Yeah, something about a horse. And he was very cold.
Yeah.
Very cold.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. So they've done an amazing job of selling a film, selling its prospects, selling the idea that it's a dead cert winner as well. I think Nigel is finally launching his Oscar predictions piece.
Gosh.
Well, it's not his fault. we were a little late in subbing it. But he says in that actually the Best Picture race is more open than we would think. And I think that's an interesting argument. I think there probably is a chance for something like Room or even The Big Short to sneak in there at the last minute. I wonder if
bollocks.
Maybe, you say bollocks, but maybe we've bought into the hype a bit too much. What do you think?
No, I think The Revenant's a lock, I'm afraid. I mean, I think Room is charting high on the social media activity thing, partly because people are like saying on Twitter, oh my God, this woman, Room, rapes, kid, cute. Dog.
Yeah.
You know, that's the sort of thing that they're talking about on Twitter. I think Spotlight, of all the other Best Picture nominees, has got the best chance, but there's no doubt in my mind that Revenant's going to do it, I'm afraid.
And I don't want to be disgruntled and contrary. Well, I do, but that's that's by the by.
Yeah.
But actually, it's that thing, isn't it? The more you think about these films over a long awards season, a long Oscar race, the more I think about The Revenant, having seen it twice now, the more I can kind of buy into the view of people who come back saying it's actually quite boring.
Yeah.
And there's a beauty to it, there's a majesty to it. And DiCaprio's performance is great. It's a brilliant film. But at the same time, in terms of watchability and if an audience is going to enjoy this film, which isn't what the Oscars are about, but it plays into it, there is something lacking there in The Revenant that Room and The Big Short probably do provide. And Spotlight as well, definitely.
Mm. Humanity.
Humanity. Mm. Bit of plot.
Bit of plot, did you
say? Bit of plot.
Say it more spaced out.
A bit of plot.
Thank you. Okay, well, that's all from us for today. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and come and see us tomorrow at a special live
Oscars tomorrow, isn't
night.
It? Whoa, blimey. Whoa. It's exciting,
what
isn't
are you
it?
Wear?
Oh, probably I'm going to really push the boat out and maybe wear a shirt that's been half ironed.
Like that
just,
one?
Oh, yeah, no, on the right-hand side, but not the left.
Unusual distribution of pieces
front. Yeah.
On that one.
Yeah, so maybe I'll iron something.
Oh,
that's worth buying a ticket for alone, isn't it?
And you can also see Mad Max once we've done talking about the Oscars and admiring Henry's top. I'll leave you with a word from Shirley MacLaine on the gender pay debate. I've made so many movies playing a hooker that they don't pay me in the regular way anymore. They just leave it on the dresser. Bye.
You're more than your day job. You know that. If you're interested in starting your own side gig, then check out the Side Hustle series from Guardian Labs and theguardian.com/sidehustle. Helpful videos, articles, and a podcast, all brought to you by Squarespace. When you're ready to build your website for your side hustle, head to squarespace.com. Their sites look professionally designed, regardless of skill level, no coding required. You build your website with these intuitive, easy-to-use tools. And you get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So start your free trial site today. Go to squarespace.com. Squarespace. Build it beautiful.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.